Well, this evening our scripture reading comes to us from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 32, and we'll also be reading Lord's Day 35. And Lord's Day 35 can be found on page 49. But first we're going to read God's Word. So Exodus 32, we'll be reading verses 1 through 20. People of God, this is God's very word. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molten calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down. For your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation." Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, 'He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven.' And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other. They were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it into a powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And there ends the reading of God's word. And now we'll jump to Lord's Day 35. And we'll have three questions this evening. Question 96, 97, and 98. And I'll read the question if you could respond with the answer. So question 96 says, what is God's will for us in the second commandment? That we in no way make any image of God, nor worship Him in any other way than He has commanded in His Word. May we then not make any image at all? But may not images be permitted in the churches as teaching aids for the unlearned? All right. Well, as we continue through the catechism in our evening service, and we've made our way to the gratitude section, we're in the Ten Commandments now. And we looked last week at the first commandment, that we have no other gods before the one true God. We said that God wasn't one on the list of ten, but He was one on the list of one. You remember that? We are creatures who are created to give glory to the one true God. We are to worship the one true God and Him alone. We paused last week and thought how well we were doing with that. And we are to have no other gods but the one God. That's what the first commandment taught us about worship and who to worship. That we worship the right God. And the second commandment is to worship the right God in the right way. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. How do you worship the right God the right way? What does that mean? How does God want to be worshipped? Have you ever thought about that? See, we may think that's a trivial question to ask. How does God want to be worshipped? Can we just make things up? Is that okay? But in reality, we know that's a really important question. How should we worship God? Because ultimately, worshiping God isn't about us. It's about Him. And if it's about Him, He makes the rules to worship Him. Why do we worship the way we do? You think about that? Did we just make all this up? Or is there something deeper there? Is there something deeper going on when we worship God? Is there something more happening when you sit in these pews? See, there are reasons why we worship God the way we do. And one of those reasons comes out in Lord's Day 35. See, if we remember why we even follow God, right? One of the things that we learned about in His law, what does He say? Before He even gets to the first commandment, He says this, I am the Lord your God, who did what? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's why we follow Him. Right? The one who saved us from sin, who pulled us out of the pit. That's why we follow His law. I am the Lord your God. Then we should ask Him, okay, well then, how should we worship you, Lord? How do we follow you? First thing He said, no other gods but me. You're like, okay, I got it. No other gods but you. What's the next one? And He says, you shall not make for yourself the carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or is in the earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. Oof. That sounds like that one's going to be tough, Lord. So what God is doing here, He's trying to give them a context of how to worship Him. Bowing down and serving is a context of worship. You shall not bow down or serve idols. You shall not worship God like you would worship an idol. See, we're not to use images of God in worship. We're not to make idols. And I think today we've lost something because we don't understand how holy God is. We lost something because we don't understand how this holy God wants to be worshipped. But see, if we read through the Old Testament, the more we read through it, the more we get the sense of how God takes His worship seriously, doesn't He? See, God doesn't mess around when it comes to worshiping Him. He doesn't say, well, that's cute, and we'll let that slide. The holy God doesn't say those things. When people did things that were outside the bounds of worship, you know what happened? God killed them. He struck them down. That's how serious God takes worship. And that's what we're going to get out of Lord's Day 35. See, I think today we don't understand that. We're so used to this loving God, and God is love. But remember, I say this all the time. God just isn't love. He's also just. He's also holy. He's also righteous. So when God wants to be worshipped, we should really understand, okay, Lord, how do you want to be worshipped? Think of the two sons of Aaron. We've all heard this story. Who brought what Scripture says, a strange fire to the tent of meeting. Because they were leading the people in worshiping God. See, God instructed them how to worship Him. And these two sons of Aaron were leading the people. And they thought, yeah, well, he really didn't say we couldn't do this. He never said we should, but it never says we shouldn't. We all know what happened. Dead. They both fall down dead. See, God takes His worship seriously. And Moses had to tell Aaron, whose two sons now lay dead at the tent of meeting, that God's holy, that God's righteous, that He takes His worship seriously. He takes His worship dead seriously. Pun intended. See, because Aaron knew better. That's the thing. Because our text happens before that text. Aaron knows what happens when you don't worship God the right way. Like, he's already failed once at this. And now his sons had to die because they chose the wrong path. And this brings us to our text. When Moses is up on Mount Sinai and the children of Israel are waiting. You know, if you read other places, it tells us how long Moses was up there. Moses was up there for 40 days and for 40 nights. So he's up there for over a month. And the people of Israel are like, he's not coming back. He's gone. So they persuade Aaron to make a golden calf. And God nearly wipes out the entire people of Israel. Because God takes His worship seriously. I can't say that enough tonight. Question 96 wants us to learn this valuable lesson. What is God's will for us in the second commandment? They can worship here. That we in no way make any image of God, nor worship Him in any way other than He has commanded in His Word. See, some people, when you read Exodus 32, they think they're breaking the first commandment. No. They're breaking the second commandment. These people wanted to worship other gods. But Aaron says in verse 5, Aaron tries to steer them back just a tiny bit. In verse 5, he says, tomorrow we shall worship the Lord. And he uses the covenant name. If you look in your Bibles, if you have an older Bible, you might see the name of the Lord in all capitals. That's Yahweh there. See, Aaron knows that they shouldn't worship other gods. But he was too weak of a person to tell them that they were doing wrong. So he meets them halfway. He says, you can make this idol, but we're going to worship Yahweh with it. How do you think God's going to take that? God wants us to worship Him the way He wants it. God takes seriously our worship, and He instructs us then with the second commandment. Heidelberg Catechism, question 97. May we then not make any image at all? God cannot and may not be visibly portrayed in any way. Although creatures may be portrayed, yet God forbids making or having such images if one's intentions is to worship them or serve God through them. See, I think that's important. He's not saying you can't make any idols. You don't want to make any idols at all. You can't make any statues or anything in your house. It's not like you can't have a statue of this or a statue of that. No, the point is, if one's intention is to worship them or serve God through them. So here's our problem. See, God is invisible and we're such a visible people. Right? We want God to be visible. We want to see Him. We want to touch Him. See, we might think that's a problem for today because we're such a visible people. We love having our phones on. We love watching our television and our movies. We love everything visual, right? We love learning now with PowerPoint. Everything's on the screen all the time. But that just isn't a problem for today. Humanity has been having that problem since the beginning. People want a visible God. They want to be able to see God. And I think, as I was studying this, I think it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Because the first man and the first woman had a visible God walking in the garden with them. They were used to it. There's God. He speaks to us. Right? So in mankind, there's just this urge to have God with them, to be with them, to be visible. But God isn't with us anymore, is He? The Holy Spirit lives inside us. We know that as Christians. And we know Jesus Himself is sitting on the throne in heaven. But that's it. But still to this day, people want to have a visible God. The people of Israel always had the nations around them. You know what the nations had? Idols. Everywhere were idols. And they thought, why can't we have that? Why can't our God be visible? So we're getting back to the text. The people of Israel, they've been in Egypt for 400 years. Egypt! Idols everywhere. They had hundreds of gods. They could see their gods. So they're finally out. They're finally free of Egypt. And the moment that they have this chance to worship God the right way, they run back to Egypt and make a golden calf. They don't wait for Moses to come down. No. We need a God. We need a visible God that's going to lead us to the promised land. And they make a God into something that they know. Something that they can comprehend. Something that they're familiar with. Something that they can see. One pastor said this, they made something creaturely something small, something that's not holy, not angry against sin, something safe, something tame, something that was under their control. God forbid you make a holy God. Holy gods are scary. And as I was reading this pastor, when he wrote this, he said, something safe. And you know what popped into my mind? The Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis. In the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Mr. and Mrs. Beaver taking the Pevensey kids to see Aslan, right? And they're talking about Aslan, and they find out that Aslan's a lion, right? And Lucy says this. When she finds out that Aslan's a lion, she says, then he isn't safe? Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he's not safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. I love that. See, today we want a safe God, don't we? We want a God that's tame. We want a God that's under our control. We want a God that doesn't get angry when we sin. See, man hasn't changed through all these years. They still want that. And Israel had to learn that God, in fact, is not safe when it comes to worshiping Him, when it comes to obeying His commands. And Aaron knew this. He knew this. But he tells them, take the gold rings out of your ears. I'll make you a god. And he makes them this molten calf. Really, it was probably a young bull. Because a young bull in the Egyptian gods meant strength and fertility. And in Canaan, the land they were going to, it was an image of Baal. Really what they did is they turned, they slapped God in the face. And said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You're thinking, how dare they? We've read the stories. We saw what God did to Egypt. After God's did all the plagues. He opens up the Red Sea and they walk on dry land. But they can't wait 40 days for Moses to come back down. How dare they? But here's the thing, beloved. We would do the same thing, wouldn't we? We're no better. Let's read verses 5 and 6 again. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they arose early of the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and they rose up to play. They're doing exactly what they were not supposed to do. What does our catechism tell us this evening? Looking back at question 96, not only does the second commandment instruct that we in no way make an image of God, it says we're not supposed to worship it in any other way than He commands us in His Word. That's where we need to look when we think about worshiping a holy God. See, in the Reformed tradition, we worship God using what's called the relative principle of worship, regulative principle of worship, that God instructs His people on how He wants to be worshipped from His Word. Right? How does God want us to worship Him? Well, ordinarily, God speaks and we respond. We see that all throughout Scripture. God speaks, we respond. He wants us to read His Word. He wants us to respond back in song. Right? He opens prayer. He calls us to prayer. We respond back. That's how worship's supposed to be. That's how it is in the Old Testament. That's how it is in the New Testament. God speaks, we respond. Right? We give offerings to the Lord. We receive sacraments. See, those are the things that God desires in worship. Remember what it tells us in the Old Testament. God desires obedience, not sacrifice. He just wants us to understand He's a holy God. This is how He wants us to worship Him. He desires obedience, not sacrifice. He wants us to come and worship Him how He wants to be worshipped. So as we go on in our text tonight, we see the consequences of not worshiping God, a holy God, the way He wants to be worshipped. Right? God yells at Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves." So you may think that God's only angry in the Old Testament. Right? People will say that. Oh, no, that's just the Old Testament God. Our New Testament, He's not angry like this. No? This is what the book of Hebrews tells us. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Do you believe that? Is that just the Old Testament God who's a consuming fire, or is our God today a consuming fire? See, God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He was an angry, consuming God then, He's an angry, consuming God now, but He's not angry at us because we're in Christ. But if we want to worship Him in any other way than He commands, He's a holy and just God. He doesn't just let things slide. See, too many people today in the church think, "He won't do that. He doesn't care anymore. He just wants us to come on Sunday and worship Him." That scares me to death, beloved. That doesn't sound like a holy God. But in our text, we have an example of a mediator, don't we? Moses stands before God and the people. Moses mediates and protects them from God's anger. But they still had to pay the price. But here's the thing. Just like Moses was the mediator for the Old Testament people, for the Old Covenant, Jesus Christ stood before God and us. We have a better mediator. And He pleads our case daily. You see, tonight I'm not saying that we have perfect worship. We don't. Right? When I'm saying, "Oh, the Reformed Church, we have the best worship. Ours is better than everybody else's." No, but what we do is we strive to be biblical. We strive to follow what God says. We strive not to bring the world into our worship because God is a consuming fire. See, we want to worship God the right way because He feeds us through this worship spiritually. He blesses us spiritually. Answer 98 in the Catechism says, we shouldn't try to be wiser than God. He wants His people instructed by the living preaching of His Word, not by idols that can't talk. That's the goal of the church, to worship God. So many today, beloved, believe that they could bring any type of worship and worship a God. But if we look through Scripture, beloved, we understand our God is holy, Our God is righteous. Our God is just. And He wants to be worshipped as He prescribed in His Word. That's tough, isn't it? Going back to C.S. Lewis, Lucy asked Mr. Beaver, is he safe? Of course he's not safe. But he's good. He's the king. He's good. And he's told us how to worship him. Let us remember that when we come to worship every week. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, so many today just think you're this lovable grandpa in heaven sitting on a chair. They forget that you're holy. Because you're not just holy. You're not even just holy, holy. But you're holy, holy, holy. And if we really, truly knew that, it would scare us to death. You're a holy God who tells us that you demand worship. And you've told us how to worship you. Help us to remember that. We know you're a God of love. We know you've sent your Son, Jesus, to save us from our sins. But that doesn't change the holiness of God. That doesn't change the reverence and awe we should have when we walk into the throne room. We're just mere creatures. Why would we ever think we could bring our own worship to you? Lord, help us to remember you as you are, the Almighty. Help us to worship you like you want us to worship you. Help us to love that too. Help us not to think that, oh, I wish we could worship God this way. No. Help us to think, I want to worship God the way He wants us to worship Him. Lord, you're a good God. You're a holy God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, when the music begins, we're going to stand and we're going to sing number 137. Number 137.